Hi, I'm Allie Gertz.
And I'm Julia Prescott. And this podcast is brought to you by
Everything's Coming Up Simpsons. Make sure to tune in on September 11th.
We are talking about the episode Radio Bart with a special guest you may recognize.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright.
And actually, I'm Bart Simpson. Who the hell are you?
We're so excited.
Oh, this is so good.
This was one of our favorite episodes we've ever done.
Mark your calendars. I don't know. You're probably already downloading it. What is this life?
September 11th, we are joined by, you already heard her, Nancy Cartwright. We're so excited. Please tune in.
All right. Bye.
Hey, Weird Adults. Today's episode is brought to you by Audible.com. Audible has the best audiobook performances, the largest library, and the most exclusive content, and you'll feel something when you listen. Learn more at audible.com/weirdadults, where you can get 30 days free and one free audiobook. It's awesome, and just so you know, I'm right now reading Missoula. I think it's a must read, and it's super easy to digest if you're listening to it on Audible. I'm also highly, highly, extremely beyond above recommending you read or listen to on Audible, So You've Been Publicly Shamed by John Ronson. If you are of the now, if you are living in the time that we're living, which I hope you are if you're listening to this, if not, please seek medical attention because you are in fact dead. But if you are living, you have to read So You've Been Publicly Shamed by John Ronson, and you can get it for free by going to audible.com/weirdadults. This book is such a necessary read because it's so relevant to the times we're living in, and I just think it's awesome. All right, guys, check it out, audible.com/weirdadults. Puppies and kittens listening to my wonderful podcast. It's so good to see your adorable little paws and faces. This podcast episode is with Michael Costa. He's tall, handsome, and hilarious. He's kind of my go-to hot, funny guy. He's really funny. This podcast was so much fun for me to record because I got to go into his apartment, look at all his stuff, look inside his refrigerator, ask him questions about what was inside his refrigerator, and just really get to know the real Michael Costa. And he swore to me the day before we recorded this podcast that he was a totally normal, cool guy. But as you'll see, we'll find out he's totally, like, just a weird, uncomfortable. He's not uncomfortable. He's weird. He's so crazy and funny and cool. And here we go. Hi, guys.
Hi, Esther.
Hi, Michael.
What's the name of this podcast?
Okay. The name of this podcast is Weird Adults.
Okay.
And so it's about how you're a weird adult. First of all, this is Michael Costa, everyone.
Hey, everyone. I'm not a weird adult.
I told you this yesterday.
I'm not a weird person, I don't think.
But first of all, yeah, you are. Just okay. Coming into your apartment, I just feel that weird energy, especially since I looked inside your freezer and you have some weird frozen beer thing. What is that?
Do I have a frozen beer in there?
There was like a weird can wrapped that had beer.
No, that's for when you cook and you have grease. You dump the grease in there. That's okay. I'm very comfortable talking about this. Instead of dumping it, see, in Michigan, this is what we did. Instead of dumping it down the drain, because then it cools and it hardens and it fucks. Can I swear?
Yes.
Okay, and it fucks up your drain. You pour it into a can. I used a Budweiser can, and then you freeze it, and then you throw that out. Have you ever cooked before,
you're
Esther?
You're so innovative.
I'm so innovative. That's something that, like, people did
Midwest.
In like 1915.
That's very Midwest. I don't think I know anyone living in LA today that has a can of frozen grease in there.
Grease.
Yeah.
So what do people do with it here? Just throw it away?
Well, what grease is this? Where is this grease coming from?
When you cook.
When I fry
tofu or...
Oh.
Or with something, you know, anytime you...
Modern man fries tofu.
Yeah, I fry tofu. You know, there's always a little grease action going on. Isn't there?
I mean, here's the thing.
Just make me a weird adult.
Yeah. Yes.
Is this a cooking podcast?
Here's the thing. Lately, let's just get into the truth. Lately, yeah. I've been frying bananas with cinnamon.
Huh.
It's so good, and it's like such a good way to feel like you're eating really bad food, but it's bananas are still bad because they're really high in sugar, but whatever. So, and you when you fry it, it kills like any nutrients. But,
right.
But I use coconut oil, and then if there's oil left over, I don't like, there's not enough oil left over yeah. that I'm like, oh, I need to figure this out. I just rinse it in the drain.
Yeah. I don't know what.
Do you use a lot of oil?
Not really. That's been in there for like 3 years. You can see how much is in there.
Why yeah.
I want people
it?
Listening to this podcast to write in and say, this is accurate what I'm doing, or I'm a complete neurotic psychopath that I do this. Maybe I am.
True.
Yeah.
Although, I don't know. Then I also know, here's, okay, just yeah. for those of you, if you haven't seen Michael Costa, you should see his Comedy Central Presents. I believe it's for sale on iTunes.
It's definitely for sale on iTunes. I believe it's like $1.58 or something, so it's really it's not a big commitment.
Reduced price.
Yeah. No, I don't know why it's so cheap, but that's what it is, and you can get it really inexpensively.
He's, okay, so if you haven't seen that, you should get it, because it's really funny, and I've watched it a million times. I'm just going to throw this out there. He's pretty handsome.
Okay.
He's a tall, good-looking guy. I'm just going to throw it on the table. There's no tension here. Everything's good.
No.
He's also in my video. It's called Hashtag Michael, and it's a really weird video, but
it's a funny video.
Thank you.
It is a funny
it's
video.
It's funny because of you.
What's funny I love you, Esther. What's funniest about that is that you said to me that the reason I got cast is because Anthony Jeselnik didn't want to do it.
Wait, you know what's actually funny? If I remember correctly, I didn't tell you that, but when I sent you the script, it said Anthony
Jeselnik. It said Anthony Jeselnik on it. It was, no, and then I believe you even said it to my face, so it was very clear that I was choice B, unless there was someone after Anthony, which is fine. I mean, Anthony would have done a very good job.
Here's what I'll say. I went through a period of time where I had a major crush on Anthony Jeselnik.
Okay.
That crush still may exist. However, it was sort of tamed down a bit when I was at the Improv, and I told Bobby Lee I had a crush on Anthony Jeselnik. Anthony Jeselnik was there,
okay.
And Bobby goes, "Hey, Anthony, she has a crush on you." And then he looks over at me like he was about to throw up, and that's sort of just. So that put
he didn't look over like he was about to throw up. That was you.
He looked annoyed.
He looked annoyed.
He looked angry.
That's how good looking he is. He gets annoyed when people.
I wouldn't say he's more good looking than you.
Okay, well that's not what I'm even going at or asking. First of all, you should know better than to tell Bobby Lee anything intimate about yourself.
Now I know that because I've never really felt embarrassed before until that moment.
You have never felt embarrassed
before?
I
usually do not get embarrassed.
According to your Twitter, you're embarrassed all the time. Is that a character?
That's not a character, No, but when am I being embarrassed on Twitter? I'm drooling.
She's actually drooling, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about Anthony Jeselnik, and her mouth and pussy are drooling. Do you need to put a towel down before you sit? I have chocolate chip cookies. I bet the other people didn't do that.
No.
Huh? Did Jeselnik do that?
What are those? Are those homemade? They don't look homemade.
They're not homemade. Those are those mini ones you get. You put them on the bake. You just snap them off on the baking sheet.
Oh, so they're homemade. You fucking baked those cookies?
I didn't mix flour with sugar.
Put them in an oven.
I put them in an oven, yes. Yes, I put them in an oven.
I am taking so many photos of those.
Do you see how not weird I am? I like.
No, you're just so normal that you are weird.
Yeah.
Like.
Okay, so normal that I am weird.
Well, okay, here's what I was going to say.
I'm just so Michigan, I feel like. That's what people in Michigan are like, maybe.
God, you're a catch.
Esther is a fucking goofball.
You have in your freezer, aside from that weird grease situation, I spotted a Toll House cookie ice cream sandwich.
Yes.
What's the deal? Is that something you eat regularly? Is that
Remember when I saw you at the bar three nights ago?
Yeah.
And you weirded out and you ran away like a total weirdo?
What?
I hadn't seen Esther in 3-4 weeks. I come up to her at the bar. First thing she says is, "Do you want a Sour Patch Kid?" It's like, "Hello, Esther. How are you? Do you want to say hello and give me a hug?" And so then she runs across the street to 7-Eleven. And then I left the bar and stopped at the liquor store or 7-Eleven, and I bought sometimes when I get drunk I love those ice cream sandwiches, those Chipwiches. That's what that is.
Oh yeah, no, I know what that is.
You know those are, and they're too big. That one's too big, but
wow.
But what I do, and this is probably makes me weird because it's normal and like moderate, I cut them in half. and then I have half of one, and then so I don't know why.
You are so dainty.
I'm such a pussy, it sounds like. This should be called Pussy Adults.
You cut that in half, and then do you put the second half in a Ziploc container? Or?
Typically. A freezer bag.
You're so domesticated.
And what am I like Patrick Bateman right now in American Psycho? I feel, or like Dexter? I don't know. I just, it's too much food. It's too much food. The portion sizes are so big. I'm going to get it out. Hold on.
Settle it down.
How far will this go? I'm going to put it down.
That's fine. That's fine. We have editing. Dustin edits stuff out.
I don't even need to edit it. I don't know. But look, even Nestle.
Oh, man.
See, I thought they were going to say this was like 2.5 servings. They sometimes do that.
Oh, yeah, no, I know.
But no, this is one serving.
How many calories are we looking at?
380 calories.
That's nothing.
140 calories from fat. And here's what you really got to watch out for. And Dustin's photographing
this. Please take photographic evidence.
Here's what you really got to watch out for is you look at the ingredients and you go, what is this stuff?
Well, yeah, I mean, duh, it's
what
poison.
What is riboflavin?
It's pure poison.
What is, thymine monotree? I mean, it's like, what the, 33 grams of sugar in this thing. Anyway, this is so LA to be talking about this right now, but we'll put it in the freezer. But here's me with my Chipwich. Putting it back now.
Photos have been taken for security reasons.
Yeah, you always say that, Esther. My beer trap, or my grease trap. Just so everyone who's listening knows, Esther literally barrels into my apartment and takes like 35 photographs of my entire apartment.
They'll know because they'll see this on the website.
Good, yeah.
Michael, I love michaelcosta.com.
Actually, I think I bought that domain. You're going to have to go with .net or .mil for that.
Holy shit. Okay. Yeah. So yeah, we are in Michael Costa's apartment.
Yeah.
I have to say his full name since he is a true celebrity to me. It's actually, I'm going to just throw this out there, a lot of mirrors. Big mirrors.
I know. Whenever anyone comes into my apartment, they go, oh, I get it. I get why you live here now. Because you can just, because we're narcissists, you know,
right.
Comedians. It's like now I can... Even the way I'm sitting now, I'm sitting directly so I can look at myself.
Do you ever have like a dance party in front of the mirror?
All the time. Yeah, I have all the time. I do helicopter penis. After I shower, I'll just, I'll do helicopter penis. Do you know what that is?
Yeah.
You kind of move and it goes like a helicopter. When I was a kid, this is very interesting. When I was a kid, we was the youngest of four, and we would always have 6 o'clock dinner every night.
Mm-hmm.
Six family members having dinner. And... my mom wouldn't let me sit at the end of the table because there was the sliding glass door, and when it got dark, I could see my own reflection, and I would be, like narcissists who died by looking at his own reflection. My mom was like, you can't sit there because you'll just look at your own reflection the whole time. You won't even like talk to the family. I was like four. How messed up is that? I'm so embarrassed by that.
Well, here's what I'll say. I feel like it's not our faults. It's our parents' faults.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
That's good. That's a healthy way to go through life. Anything that our personality needs improvement is really our parents' fault.
Yes, absolutely. I can confirm that. You're a family of four?
Yep. John, Christy, Todd, Michael. I'm the youngest. Comedians are the youngest, I feel like. What are you?
I'm the youngest. I consider myself to be a half only child, half youngest.
Okay. Because
I have a half older sister, so it's like,
okay,
I'm my dad's only child, but I'm my mom's youngest.
Okay.
But my mom still didn't really treat me like the youngest. I don't know, but yes, youngest. Most are youngest.
Why is that?
Like, because I think the youngest like is the one that's like, give me attention, and then
yeah,
they get it.
That's what I've always said. I think it's because the youngest competes for attention. I've also thought many youngest were not intended. Many youngest are not intended. So you almost are raised with a little bit of a questioning of like, was I even planned?
Right.
You know, was I like I need valid, like,
oh yeah,
validity, and there's nothing like performing in front of a group of people if they like you that makes you feel that way.
That's such a good point. Well, does your family like, do you feel like you were not intended?
You know what's so funny? I never even asked that, but every kid is 3 years apart, and we had four. But why would you ever have four kids?
Yeah, that's a lot.
So many kids.
That's a lot of kids.
I mean, it's so expensive too.
Did you know that to raise a kid, if you have a baby right now and you're in like the Midwest, they say that from birth to 18, you need $270,000 to raise that kid.
Unbelievable. So that means I could raise three kids right now. It's not true. It's not true at all. That's a lot of my... I think our generation is going to have like 1 to 2 kids max.
Oh,
I think
yeah.
this 4 kid thing.
0 to 2.
There's going to be a lot of zeros.
Yeah,
I mean, people are even getting married later now. Thank God.
However, you're maybe basing that off of like, we live in LA.
Yeah.
So
yeah, true.
How old are you, by the way?
I am 25 to 35. No, I'm 32. Why does everyone always lie about their age? Why
nobody,
is that such a big...
Nobody really does, right?
Okay, I hope not.
I think that's a thing of the past.
I feel like LA, I said this on stage the other night, I was like, I get so mad here. You ask someone how old they are and they kind of go like, oh, you know, everywhere else around the world, you could ask someone's age and it's totally fine. It doesn't matter
yeah.
what their age is.
It's definitely an insecurity. Like,
yeah.
you got to just be cool with how old you are. I'm pretty...
It doesn't matter. I don't think. I mean, I guess it's like, say that to the leading actress who's 38 and is starting to feel like she's no longer like as beautiful as she was. I don't know. I'm 32 and I've been 32 for the past 6 years. How old are you, Esther?
I'm 24. I just turned 24.
Wow, happy birthday. When's your birthday?
Oh, it was March 2nd, so I guess that's kind of a lie.
Yeah.
When's your birthday?
September 27th.
Oh, I think our astrological signs are compatible.
Well...
Are you a Virgo?
I'm a fucking non-believer in that bullshit. That's what I am. That's such silliness.
I know. It's so unreal. It's crazy.
I'm a Libra.
Oh, you are?
Well balanced. That's what it's the scale. Libra's a scale, well balanced. Cutting the Toll House Chipwich in half because it thinks
zip locking it up. How often do you eat something like that?
Like a Chipwich like that?
Yeah.
I don't particularly love junk food, so that's like I said, I get drunk and I buy that. What a bitch I am, huh?
Like your life is just so manageable. You are managing your life. Quite perfectly.
I don't know. You have to understand two things about me. I was an athlete forever.
Oh.
Like I was a professional tennis player. Like I always was just planned on being a tennis player. And so like athletes live very like disciplined, structured,
yeah.
because you have to. And so it's so funny for me to like go and talk to comics and they sleep until 4 p.m. or they don't write for 3 weeks and then they write for an entire week. Like I try to like structure shit, which maybe is what makes me weird as an adult weirdo.
You're like the Superman of comedians.
I'm not a Superman of comedians.
No, you are though.
And the other thing I was gonna say, my parents with 4 kids in the house, it had to be like super organized.
Right.
It was still chaos no matter what. But like we had our little cubby hole and that's where we put Michael's stuff. And then we had like the shoes, Michael's shoes go here. So that's just how I was raised.
Are you good at sharing because you had a lot of siblings or are you bad at it because you were the youngest?
That's a very good question. And I don't know the answer to it. You'd have to ask people around me. I think naturally as the youngest, I was used to getting things that I wanted. And I would say that it's probably something that it would need improvement on would be sharing.
I think I need to make a note to myself that I want sharing to be an important conversation topic for all my podcasts.
You could have a little sharing segment.
Yeah, Do you share?
Sharing's caring. I don't know.
Right. Thank you.
Do you share?
I have problems sharing, but I'm working on them.
Okay.
I think I have, just because I am the youngest and then also sort of the only child, like it's a weird mix of...
What is it, when you ask me if I share, like what pops in your head as far as what that means?
Okay, well, like, for example, when I was in college, I remember I had a roommate and I like ate some of his, my like gay best friend was my roommate in college.
You went to University of Illinois for a little while.
I did.
Yes, as did I. Yes, I did, yeah.
Where did you live?
I lived...
Probably with the tennis Hawkeyes.
Yeah, I lived... It was just like this bunch of just naked dudes walking around all the time. We would helicopter dick again. How did helicopter dick become a running theme? Now I have to like helicopter dick at the end of this. No, but it was a very much a dude palace, and that's not going to surprise anybody.
Were you in a tennis house? Like a tennis
house? Yeah,
players?
Well, at first I lived at Forbes Hall 204.
Oh.
That was like, you know, dorm. And then we all lived in apartments. But it was disgusting. I mean,
yeah.
This was back when VCRs were still prevalent.
Whoa.
And you would, at all times, there was a porno in the VCR. I mean, if you ever just press play on a VCR, like, Now, I don't know how guys go to college now, because you can just jerk off with your computer in your room in your privacy. But like, we, if you wanted to do that, you had to go out to the living room, like where the porno was. Very interesting.
So how do you, you're saying you don't know how guys do it now? You mean that you don't know how they did it?
Sorry. I mean, I guess what I mean is it's way easier now for guys in college.
Well, yeah.
What? They're such pussies. We used to have to like, you had to get it wrapped up in like 45 seconds because someone may walk through that door at any moment.
That's like insane.
It's insane.
There a lock on the door?
There's a lock, but you know, it's like the door opens, the door, you feel the struggle of the door lock, and then it's like, you got 10 seconds to run away, basically. Anyways, we didn't need to talk about that. We were talking about what's sharing, about what you think. Okay, so you were in college and what happened?
Oh, yeah. So, okay, I remember like I ate some of my roommate's food. You know what? I lived with the same person in college as I did my first year in LA. So I don't know if we were in LA, whatever. But I remember eating some of his food and I was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry I did that. And he was like, I don't care. And I was like, what? Really? You don't care? Like, what do you mean? And then he was like, I grew up with three siblings. Like, I'm just used to my stuff getting stolen and taken and abused.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Everything I ever wore or furniture was always someone else's before me.
So
we did share, but my older siblings would say that wasn't something that I was so good at. They'd say that I was super spoiled as the youngest.
Right.
And when you are super spoiled, the parents have already been beaten down by the other kids. Typically, your family's got more money than when you're older because the business is doing better or whatever.
Yeah, that was an issue.
Yeah, and like my older brother John, remember one year he told me like for his birthday when he was 13, he got a pair of shin guards, right, for soccer shin guards. When I was 13, my parents were like flying me around the country to play tennis tournaments. You know what I mean? And it's like, but I never felt like animosity from my siblings, but like I almost felt like guilty, like you got a pair of $9 shin guards and I'm like flying Delta to Nashville.
Did you really not feel animosity? I feel like you would have to have.
My siblings have been nothing but supportive always of me.
Are they all really normal and you're just like a weird artist?
No, the weirdest is that one, John, who's on my wall in my apartment.
Mike, do you go by Mike or Michael?
I prefer Michael, thank you.
Michael, God, you're so weird. He has a big, like, oversized poster of a picture that his brother took when he was drunk, surrounded by four Asian girls.
Yeah, and this was at my brother John's bachelor party, we all went to Oktoberfest in Munich with my father and his friend, and my brother got absolutely blackout drunk, and I snapped this photo of him with these four Asian girls. And it's just a really hilarious photo, and it's a great memory. And we blew it up, and I put it on the wall.
And it's actually artful, and it's interesting. One of the Asian girls has braces.
Does she? Oh my God, she does. She does.
That's
you don't see a lot of Asian girls with braces.
You don't see many adults with braces. That would probably classify you as a weird adult.
As a weird adult. Did you have braces?
I had braces, but when I was like in fourth grade, like really early. But I need them because my teeth are turning again, and I didn't pay attention to that whole wear your retainer thing.
Oh, yeah.
Did you have braces?
I had
you
braces seventh, eighth, ninth grade.
Yeah. Oh, that's tough.
It was tough.
Were you?
It was tough.
Were you like an all-star in high school? Were you? Tell us about it.
I was, you know, I was a tennis player, but like it wasn't cool jock because that's not like a sport. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like I remember my sophomore year in high school, I won the state tournament for Michigan. Like I was the best tennis player in the state of Michigan. And I'm not bragging. I'm saying because like I want to share this story with you. So like every day they would make announcements in high school over the PA system, and I remember like they were like Michael Costa wins the state tournament, and people were like okay, and they're like, and our third string quarterback was offered a partial scholarship to like a Division II school, and everyone went fucking crazy, you know what I mean?
Oh my God.
And I just always like, it's just tennis was, it's never like cool sport really.
That's so
I wasn't
weird.
Like super cool guy, I don't think.
Well, you know what's funny is I feel like in the Midwest it's not a cool sport, but I feel like in LA or like in rich people world, rich tennis people, is like
it's
super hot.
A very pop world sport, global sport. That's what's so weird about tennis is like you can be so good in the States and no one has any fucking care or idea. And then you like land in like Bangkok and, you know, people are, you know, want your autograph. It's crazy. It's a very international sport.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I kind of had that because I was really into ballet in high school, and that's like also so nerdy.
I mean, no one understands ballet. You know what I mean? Like, it's a really cool thing, but like, how do you even, I don't even know how to have a conversation with you about ballet.
Well, yeah. I mean, same for tennis. Well, yeah. I guess tennis. So it's like, oh, you know, Lindsay Davenport.
Yeah, right. Lindsay Davenport, the former world number one from 11 years ago.
I only know that name because my friend babysits for
her. Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah, yeah. No, but that's a good reference. That's a good reference.
But yeah, I don't know. Yeah, ballet, like I felt the same way. Like, I'm so good at this, but no one cares. It's like,
were you very good ballerina?
I did like a show with the Joffrey. Like I was like a... When I was like 12 to like 14, I was like really into it in Chicago and was doing stuff. And it was like, I majored in it in my first year at Illinois.
Wow.
Like I was like going to be a ballerina not a ballerina, but like some kind of dancer thing.
You could do a ballet comedy. That'd be really funny.
I don't think so.
I was joking completely about that. What could possibly be funny? I mean, it would be
I've already tried to find that kind of niche.
That's been my niche. This is actually a ballet podcast.
That would be amazing.
Do you have photos of you in the ballet gear?
Yeah, I think so. I should find those and post them.
That should definitely be your Facebook profile pic. Hello.
Nah. You know what's funny is someone tweeted at me this picture of me, and then it said on top, my parents, and then at the bottom, are my best friends. And it's really funny.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Sounds like you had to be there for it.
Holy shit. So you're a tennis player.
Yeah.
You have a really like, you're kind of...
The mirrors. I don't know if every apartment has as many mirrors. I'm not like super into mirrors. It's just, I had to kind of find an apartment quickly. And at the time my girlfriend was moving in with me, and that's been said and done, but like it was a nice apartment. And you know what's so stupid about LA? I really like it because it had secured parking.
Oh, same.
Yeah,
same.
It's so stupid. That's like important to us, but it is.
That was my number one.
And when you come home from a show at 1:30 a.m. you can't circle around looking for street parking, so I was like, it had secure parking. That was key.
Yeah, that honestly the same exact thing for me. That was my number one concern because my first year in LA I didn't have it.
Oh, it's the fucking worst.
It was so bad, especially like I was doing all that late night shit at the Comedy Store, and I was getting home at like 3 or 4 a.m. That's like so dangerous.
It's not safe for a woman to be parking 6 blocks from their house and then walk in. And I don't mean that in a sexist way. I mean that because when I used to rape women, I would always, you know, that's where I would do it. I would do it when they...
Is it really rape if it's done by you? Oh, hey there. We took a weird break. I know, it's so strange to take breaks in an hour-long podcast because it's not that long, but whatever. So, obviously, thank you for listening. I love that you're listening, and I love you for listening. It makes us a family, you know? Even though I'm just sitting here alone in my bed, but we're still a family, okay? Fuck it. Subscribe on iTunes. Do it. Why? Because it makes it easier for us. It makes it easier for you to get my podcast. I know the podcast that I like, I subscribe to, so I don't have to worry about whatever. It's just part of the game. Subscribe on iTunes, and then if you can, leave a review, okay? Do what I did when every single Britney Spears album came out. I reviewed it to the best of my abilities. Actually, you don't even need to leave a good review. Well, I mean, obviously you should, but just like put some stars in there and say Esther likes pie and I like pie, so we're all gonna have a happy time. Do something like that. Make me laugh, because I'm gonna read that, and if it's good, then I'm gonna think my listeners are dope. Also donate. We want you to donate. Why? Because I don't know why. Because money is important, I guess. Because I'm half Jewish and that's just the name of the game. You can donate at feralaudio.com, feralaudio.com, or weirdadults.com. If you go to Feral Audio, click on the Weird Adults show page. Donate to me, okay? Like, I've got some Snickers bars to eat and I need to buy them in high amounts at Costco. There's amazon.com affiliate links. Why do I even have to say the word affiliate? It just makes me sound so like I think I'm better than people. Whatever. So yeah, just click on, if you need to buy something on Amazon, like if you're buying, I don't know, candy or a CD, but you probably wouldn't, or a large case of bottled water if you're really rich and anorexic, or maybe you buy a large case of Clif Bars because you're manly. Whatever you buy, which I like, I buy things in bulk on Amazon because I just like it when things come to my house. Anyway, I'm not, this should not be an Amazon commercial. It's a commercial for little Esther. She's got questions. She's got answers. Ugh, okay. Anyway, if you want to buy something on Amazon, just go to weirdadults.com, click on the Amazon link, and then they give us a kickback for it. It's not a big deal, whatever. You know what? I don't even want you to do it. Don't do it. Fine, don't. No, please do. I need you. Okay, cool. Let's get back to the show. And we're back.
I'm chewing a chocolate chip cookie, but at the break I asked, I don't know. Is that a fair question to ask? Are you into men or women? I don't know. I would assume men, but that's just because that's statistically the better shot.
I am... Oh, shit.
Say by the bell. Don't have to answer.
I don't know. I'm into... I go by the candidate and not the party that they come from.
So you would be willing to go either way?
I guess so, yeah. My mom consistently accuses me of being a lesbian. Mm-hmm. And my dad is like, that would be something to consider. Mm-hmm.
That's like an option for you?
Yeah, he's like, I think you should consider it. I haven't had a serious relationship with a woman. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Here's the thing. There's no way I could really be a lesbian, but like, I feel like there's like these hints. I feel like mm-hmm. I'm a textbook lesbian. Like, I want to be like my dad. That's like a lesbian thing.
Is it?
It is, yeah.
Is it? Okay.
And just like the way I am with women, like, I never really get catty with women. I'm always like really like open and want, like, I don't know. I explained this on the last podcast and Duncan was like, you're a lesbian. But,
So this has come up before.
Yeah.
I think you have I wouldn't have guessed you were a lesbian.
Yeah, no.
I think you kind of like long straight hair. That's kind of lesbian, but, but you seem like there's a nice, heterosexuality there. I feel like.
So
should
funny.
I take my pants off now or what?
Yeah, no. I mean, I've dated a guy. I'm definitely like into men. I just think like there's like I'm a textbook lesbian, but like I'm in practicing. I'm a straight. I practice straight.
You're right. Your practice is straight.
Yes.
Yeah. Got it. All right. Cool. And that's really none of my business. But I was just kind of curious.
Well, no. It's. I'm just kidding. I love michaelcosta.com. Please visit.
Yeah, that should be a fun website.
What else? So yeah, you're from Michigan,
yes.
But you went to the University of Illinois.
That's right. Yeah, and you don't pronounce the S, so it's University of Illinois.
Even though that's where I went to school and
where
I'm from.
Even that's where I went to school and where you're from. But do you actually call it Illinois?
Illinois. No, I don't.
It's Illinois, but it drives me insane that people in Illinois,
you know,
sometimes call it Illinois.
I don't think I've ever in my life said Illinois until right now.
Well, we were talking about your sexuality and you got thrown off. Yeah, I was like raised in the backyard of University of Michigan, but when I was recruited to play tennis at both Michigan and Illinois...
Michigan's a better school, though, I thought.
Well, I mean, when I went to Illinois, we won the Big Ten Championship every year. We beat Michigan every year. So you have to understand, I was looking at it from a tennis standpoint.
Right. Do you look at the world from a tennis standpoint still?
There was a time when I did, just like the way I probably look at the world now is through a comedic frame, you know, just like you do probably, because you're a comedian. Our profession kind of guides how we look around the world, right? Or no?
Yeah, no, that's
wrong.
True.
I'm asking Dustin for approval. He doesn't have a fucking microphone.
That makes you normal. Well, okay. So, also, what's really cool is you mm-hmm. were you on the Tonight Show twice?
Been on the Tonight Show twice, and that's the first time I was on.
He has the cue card from his Tonight Show set framed on the wall, and it's really cool. Was that your idea to do that?
Yeah, I wanted something from that moment because that was kind of a big moment.
I would
me.
Imagine
cool.
so.
Yeah, and they all. It was so funny. It was a Friday afternoon, and what we forget because it's like a highlight of my life. But it was a Friday, like, work day for everyone there, you know? So, like, the show tapes at either 4 or 4:30, and then at, like, 5:31, like, everyone's out of there. Like, it's a Friday, like, for them. Like, for me, it's the Tonight Show, and I just, like, don't want anything to end. But for them, it's, like, Friday, like, any other office. Like, so
wow.
I had to go get, like, some security guard to open up the cue card room, which, by the way, they save every cue card for every show ever. It's in some fucking storage unit. Like, why?
What?
Why? I don't know. So they had it saved, and I grabbed
Orders.
It, and then it was my idea to kind of frame it. And
were you allowed to take it, do you think?
Yeah, I was allowed to take it, I think. I don't know. I mean, it's not like...
Good call. Are you kidding? That's incredible.
It's cool. And I think it's fun because they spelled my name wrong. They spelled it Michael, C-O-S-T-A, which everyone does. And then they corrected it, and you can see that. And it's always just it's a funny reminder that, like, you know...
Do you have your second appearance?
I couldn't get it. It's the same thing. I couldn't track it down.
Really?
But it was more important for me to get the first one.
Right.
You know, just because it was kind of a...
What memento do you have from the second one besides the fact that, like, you have it on...
Yeah.
You know,
beside the second one, Jay Leno, or whoever is in charge of their, like, gifts, they gave me, like, a nice neck pillow.
No way.
Should I go get it?
Yeah.
Okay, hold on.
I want to see.
I'm going to go get my second Tonight Show neck pillow.
A neck pillow? What a strange... You know what this apartment is? This is not just like where you live. This is a museum of Michael Costa. This is a Michael Costa museum. Like can I be the curator of your apartment? He's in the bedroom. Should I join him? No, I'm just kidding. I did take a photo of his bedroom though, and I'm making some kind of creation. I really wish I brought my video camera.
I got it.
I'm the curator of this museum.
Okay, so this is what they gave me the second time.
Photo camera.
They gave me this nice blanket, which feel that blanket.
Oh my God.
And then one of these neck pillows, which I don't really like these. I don't think they're very comfortable.
It's good for a comic though, because that's what they travel with.
Yeah, but you.
Oh, you got a whole goodie bag.
No, this was just like what it came. I mean, you see these people walking down the airport with this bullshit. I'm always like, as a dude, over 5'8", you can't fucking walk around with your own neck pillow. Plus, how does it even work? It's not comfortable.
It's usually like a weird dad that's wearing them.
It's a weird dad. And plus, it's already awkward enough on an airplane when someone asks you what you do and you have to say comedian. And now I'm walking around with a neck pillow that says Tonight Show with Jay Leno on it. Like, come on.
The tag is still in place. What are you doing?
The tag, I haven't used it, but I do want to say thank you to The Tonight Show with Jay Leno for this awesome neck pillow.
Yeah, and, I want to say thank you on your behalf.
Yeah, it's pretty nice they give you that stuff, and most shows don't really give you anything, so
now,
that's cool.
Now, here's another question I have, like, why did you do The Tonight Show twice, and why haven't you done other late night shows?
I've done Conan.
Oh,
you
have?
I did Conan as well, yeah. And then the other ones that I haven't done are just because I've decided not to. That's a joke. I've submitted to them, and they just have said no thank you.
But The Tonight Show is, like, kind of your home base, it seems?
Yeah, well, I mean... Like, they were the first one to give me the opportunity.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's like, say what you want about Jay Leno, and a lot of people do, and even sometimes I do. I'm kind of, you know, but he was the first one that put me on. So that's pretty.
Talk about a legendary credit, though.
Yeah.
You can't really do more than The Tonight Show.
It was a really, you know, it's just so nice when, as a comic, all the shit we put up with, like having people bother us on a Sunday and come over to your house and do a podcast in your living room.
Whoa.
No, it's just nice when you get a little legitimacy, and even though it's not necessarily, it's not The Tonight Show that it used to be, but it's just nice when my mom finally stops asking, like, okay, what are you going to do with your life? It's like when she can tell her friends back home to turn on The Tonight Show and their son's on it, she finally shuts the fuck up.
It's that sentimental, it has sentimental value, I think, more
than especially
anything.
For the older generation. You know
what
I mean?
And that's what's important to us, especially because you're from the Midwest.
From the Midwest, like, exactly. Yeah. It comes back to that.
Although the more progressive route is a podcast.
That's true.
It's my own Tonight
this
Show.
This is my Tonight Show as far as podcasting is concerned.
Yes.
Being on your podcast, even though it hasn't even been launched yet.
Well, you know... You know what's crazy that Duncan Trussell pointed out to me is that in terms of viewership, I told you this last night, I think. That being on Rogan's podcast is basically like a Chelsea Lately credit.
It's crazy, huh?
Yeah. Innovation.
It's super cool, and it's such an interesting time now because as comics, we have so many outlets. Mm-hmm. We also don't have any guidance. We don't really know what we're supposed to do. We just kind of have to do it and hope and, you know, I mean, obviously Mark Maron, it's like, he's like the pinnacle of what can happen with his podcast, but I mean YouTube and like even, you know, think about like Montreal Just for Laughs, like they do new faces, but now like everyone knows everyone because everyone's on YouTube. Like back in the day there was no YouTube, so that you had to announce these new faces to the whole comedy world. But now it's like everyone, oh yeah, we saw his thing last year. We saw her thing. It's so interesting.
Yeah, that is weird. I didn't even think about that. Like, because that was a big deal, but now it's kind of not.
I mean, it's not, it's all little, they're all little deals.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And they add up. But it's like, it doesn't seem... Supposedly in Montreal, they used to just like people used to sign TV deals there.
Right, that's what
like,
I hear.
Like it sounds like ridiculous to me that would even happen.
Yeah, I remember Bobby Lee telling me a story about like how he was working forever at comedy, and then like some random girl showed up, went to Montreal, and got like a $500,000 development deal, and I'm like never, you know, was heard of
again. I love talking to Bobby, and I love talking to people that have been in the game like 20, 30 years because they just have such perspective on all this.
Yeah.
And they see people jump up real fast and then they see people fall. And it's just, it, to me, this is such a marathon comedy. And it's like, you, if you're not, you only do it if you really love making people laugh. And if that's not why you do it, or if it's for fame or money, you'll get out because it's there's so much bullshit you put up with.
Yeah, it definitely is not worth any of what you think it's like going to give you.
Yeah.
But what, how long have you been doing stand-up?
I've been doing stand-up for about 6 months now. And I really feel like I got it. I got it. About 10 years now.
No way.
Yeah, because it's such a, that's such a challenging question. And I don't like that question.
I agree.
I don't like that you asked me. And I think you did a shitty job to ask me that. I think your podcast is shit now. No, that's not true. Because when I was 9, I used to like write little skits and perform them for my family. It's dumb.
Does that count? Yeah, I agree.
Does that count?
I agree with you.
And then when I was in college, I would like do these little sketch comedy bits on Illinois' radio. And but then I was really playing tennis, and then I would like, then I didn't do anything comedically for 2 years, and I came back.
Right.
So I never really knew how to answer that.
Yeah.
My first stand-up set was probably exactly like 10 years ago at this point.
Wow.
You know, but then there was time off in between, and then the best question, if we could do this, Esther.
Yeah.
Is ask someone how many shows they've done.
That's impossible.
It's impossible.
You could, I could say how many Tonight shows have you done?
That's
your
true.
Your answer would be two.
That's true. But that doesn't necessarily mean, well, I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know. It does give you some.
Well, I like what you brought up, though, is that like, yeah, I've been doing weird performances since I was like 4. But that doesn't really count. But then it's like in high school, I did improv. So how do you really count how long you've been in the game?
You're being a ballerina, and I know this sounds funny, but I'm not joking. Like, it helps your stage presence as a comic.
Yeah, it's true.
And so it's always a very challenging question. Or how about this one? Let's say we've both been doing stand-up comedy for 2 years. You've gone up 5 nights a week. I've gone up 2 nights a week. You're over 2 times more experienced than I am.
Yeah.
But we're both saying 2 years.
That is a
it's
weird
such a
thing.
Silly way to judge it. But how else are we going to do it?
Right.
Total shows would be the best. I've done 3,418 shows.
Laughs per minute.
Laughs per minute.
If you could record your laughs per minute.
Laughs per minute, LPM. I actually have those recorded. on this show, it's been about every 22 minutes I get a laugh.
And so you, how do you, this is what I want to know, especially because you're so like particular and disciplined.
Yeah.
Like what time you wake up, like what's your like day? Like what's the structure of your day? Like,
good
do you
question.
Actually write a lot? Do you work out? Where do you work out?
Where do you work out? What exercises do you do? How many crunches do you do?
How often do you shower?
I have a very hard time sleeping late. I guilt wakes me up.
Mm.
It comes from both my mother, Janice Costa, and like my mom was the kind of mom where if it was 10 o'clock and you weren't awake, she would start slamming the cupboards downstairs in the kitchen, like, you know, passive aggressively to wake you up. Or she would come in the room and be like, what are you going to do? Sleep all day? You know, just to the underneath her breath. And I'd be like,
So you have good hands-on parents that like shook you into being a hard worker.
Oh my God. Affirmative. Yes. Affirmative. We used to have 3 jars for each kid. It was my mom's thing. My mom did so much of this stuff, and it's great. It was great. But we had short term, long term, and then unexpected. And you would take money and you would put them. It was a way to save money for short-term things you wanted, long-term, and then there was an unexpected jar in case something happened that you needed money for. So this is like obviously I'm not like a super weirdo, but this was like how I was raised. So you get a couple bucks, you'd put it in your long-term thing or your short-term thing. Like, how crazy is that?
I love that.
Like total total. We had this plate in my house called the special plate. This is
Wait, let me just interrupt. This is coming from the person who has told me twice already there's nothing weird about him. Keep going.
That's funny.
Let's talk about the special plate.
What's fun, I guess, is we're all weird. I shared this with Mitch Fatel one time, and he freaked out. He couldn't believe it. We had this special plate in my house, and it was a plate that if you achieved something that was noteworthy, or you tried hard, or like mom and dad loved you more that day, you would eat off of the special plate. And the special plate said on it, my mom made it. It was amazing. It was like such a Mother of the Year thing to do. It said, we all love you and are so happy you're part of this family on it. And then it was hilarious. And so I would win a tennis tournament, and then that night I would eat on the special plate. Or Christy would get an A in science, and she'd eat off the special plate. And it was like a big fucking deal when you got the special plate.
I am going to go on record here and say, I think you are the perfect person.
The perfect person. Thank you.
That's what you are.
That's not true.
Oh my.
If you Google, this was, I blogged the special plate like maybe 5 or 6 years ago.
No.
If you Google Michael Costa's special plate, it may come up. It also may not. It is buried deep in my blog somewhere.
Where is the special plate?
It's a very good question. That could be a show I could sell. Where is the special plate? I think it's with my parents. I'm sure it's with my parents.
Yeah, it has to be. Because if one sibling took the special plate, I feel like that throws off the equilibrium of love.
I feel
love
like the special, yeah, the special plate. You don't deserve the special plate if you stole the special plate.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, that's good. That's poetic right
there.
If
only there was a non-special plate, that'd be fun. Like, you really fucked up today. You have to eat out of this. It's just like a bowl with like nails in it.
That's negative attention.
That's negative. We don't do that.
Yeah,
we don't do that.
I feel like your family is so positive.
Yeah, there was some negativity, but not a lot. It was a good family. I'm very lucky. Here's a question that I always ask myself because I'm worried about it. Can you be funny and come from a loving family of positivity and affection?
I think it's a myth that you have to be this abused, beaten, like little
Isn't
rat.
Isn't that so dumb?
Yeah, I don't like. I think that there was maybe like a generation where it was cool to be that dark, but I don't. There's no way. You know, I mean, there's obviously like some people artists are miserable and blah, blah, blah. They die and, you know.
Do drugs and whatever. Yeah.
But you obviously don't agree with that, I'm assuming.
I don't agree with that at all. I think that like comedy is truth and pain. And I think that pain, you know, someone who maybe grew up in a fucked up world maybe can access that easier. But as long as you have an imagination, I think you can write there or go there. I don't know. I mean, I don't think that.
Yeah.
My favorite stand-ups don't seem like they're very.
And who would that
super
be?
Super fucked up. Well, I'm definitely my favorite. That's a joke. Who are my favorite? Well, Bill Burr is so funny right now. Obviously, do we get the sense that he grew up in a troubled home? I have no idea.
I don't know.
It's a good question.
I don't know.
Maybe he did. Who knows?
He's a tough cookie.
Who are we to even know or guess, right?
Yeah.
Growing up, I loved Don Rickles. I mean, I still love Don Rickles. He's like so funny to me. Who else do I really like? Mark Maron, who I have so much respect for how honest he can be on stage. I'm watching him going like, I can't believe that you're saying this and it's great, you know? Who else? I think Sebastian's great at the Comedy Store.
So
he's so fucking funny to me.
Sebastian Maniscalco,
yeah.
God, he's good.
He's good. And I'll probably think of like 15 more names after we, you know.
Right. I know. I can never answer that question. I just have no idea, like off the top of my head.
Yeah.
But that's like, how do you like feel like you stay positive? Is it just like, do you exercise a ton and that's what
you... my day, I do exercise every day. I just played tennis for an hour and a half.
Are you kidding?
Before you came. Yeah. Yeah, but I like to exercise. I like it. I really love it.
Right, I know there's.
It's a total
like that.
Vacation from the world, isn't it? Does anyone else exercise here? Just me, Esther. Do you?
Well, when I was dancing, yeah, I could see that. But for it's like I'm in and out of it. When there's like phases where I'm running every day, and it's like, oh, this is so great. Mm-hmm. But then it's inertia. When you're doing it, and then when I go through a phase where I'm not doing it, I'm like lazy and sad.
So when you don't do it, like what, you just don't do anything active for those days? You just...
No, I do. I mean, like I like dance in my mirror a lot for exercise.
Here we go. Describe it. Let's go slow. Look me in the eye.
You know, I just put on a little like Amy Winehouse or Britney Spears, Lady Gaga, and get it in motion.
And will you get a sweat going?
No, I don't sweat easily though.
You don't?
No.
What do you wear when you do this little dancing?
I usually wear a sports bra.
Okay, that's it.
And sweatpants.
And sweatpants.
Leggings.
Okay.
Do you, what do you wear when you work out?
I wear a sports bra and sweatpants. Why is that funny? I don't know.
Twinsies.
I go just, you know, shorts.
Obviously, that was t-shirt. A boring question.
Dumb question. Worst but question I wear loafers. History. You wouldn't expect that. I wear loafers when I work out.
Yeah.
When you travel as much as I do, if you don't work out or try to eat healthy, you're fucked.
Yeah.
I mean, you come home and you, all you can, every comedy club gives you free food, but they always have like, it's just mozzarella sticks
fries.
Or, you know, fry. Everything is fried.
Ugh.
And I hate sounding like LA healthy guy, but you can't, if I'm traveling 3 weekends a month, you can't eat that every night.
No, that's
what. You develop type 2 diabetes.
Well, you get depressed too.
You get depressed. That shit messes with your brain chemistry.
Yeah. That's how I, because yeah, like I went to the Roosevelt Hotel's like burger place the other night.
Sure. I'm very familiar with that place.
Oh, really?
25
degrees.
Yeah, 25 degrees.
And
yeah.
I woke up with a hangover.
Yeah, meat hangover.
Yeah, yeah. Food hangover is
food
what
hangover.
I call it.
Yeah.
But do you.
Anything, too much of anything makes you hangover. Like, if you have 15 lemonades, you will be hungover. You will be. It's like people
Someone
are...
Someone tweet that quote.
If you have 15 lemonades, you will feel like shit the next day. Do you know what I mean? 15 anything. And I will have 14 beers and then I will still the next day go, I've got a bit of a headache. Why do I have a headache? It's like, no, you had 14 of something. 14 chocolate chip cookies would give me diarrhea.
It doesn't give me diarrhea, but it definitely gives me a stomach ache.
Yeah. When you go on the road, your day is filled with nothing until your 8 p.m. show.
Yeah, that's hell. That's a you're a victim right there.
You can only write so much.
Yeah.
You kind of hate your life anyways. maybe you have morning radio, so you sleep, and then at some point you're like, why don't I go do something active? And
yeah.
So you go to the gym. So just that's a lot of the reason why I work out, just because it just breaks up your day.
That's true. Whenever I'm in La Jolla, I always find a way to work out.
Do you? Down at the club down there?
Yeah. Do you ever go down there?
I do go down there. They love you down there.
Why do you say that?
I was just down there and your name came up. They love you.
Oh, maybe because we have that video together.
Did you do a video with them?
No, with you.
Yeah, maybe that was it. That's a fun little space, huh? Next to a Porsche dealership.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't feel like a really rich town, but then like it just has to be since there's like Ferraris and Porsches right there.
I mean, I've performed next to pawn shops, strip clubs, basements of shit, and that's next to a fucking Porsche dealership.
Yeah, that's a little out of control.
So many Porsches want to be sold, they have to dealership.
And it's across the street from a Ferrari dealership.
Yes.
FYI.
Yeah.
We're talking about the La Jolla Comedy Store.
Yeah.
Which is, it's not in San Diego, it's like outside of.
It's like a northern suburb.
Yeah, and La Jolla is like a wealthy suburb.
It's so wealthy there, yeah.
I don't like it though. I hate beach towns, like really make me nervous.
Yeah. Is it like Pleasantville, kind of?
No, maybe, I don't, maybe like the small town, I don't know what it is, it's just I don't like it there. Would you live in like a beach town if you were retired?
No, I need more action than that, but I sit, like I was in La Jolla, whatever, last week I was in La Jolla because...
You were?
Well, my best friend lives by there, and I stopped by to say hi to the Comedy Store, and I like had a coffee on the street, and I was just watching the rich people walk by. And to be honest with you, it didn't seem that bad. didn't seem like they had such a terrible life. I need more like friction in my life.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and Hollywood's great for like friction and you know, we're talking about comedy like Truth and Pain. I don't know how many jokes you could write living in La Jolla other than I'm a pompous Republican. And there was some guy had a bumper sticker there that said, let Iraq learn democracy. And I was like, wow, that's an intense, or it was something like that. It was like, teach them democracy or something. And I was like, wow, that is just an intense,
wow.
An intense bumper sticker that you would never see in Hollywood ever.
Yeah,
I don't think. It was funny.
That's, yeah, I mean, the crowds there are really good. Like, I wonder if it's just because, like, rich people are, like, happier. I don't know. That's, like, a weird thing to say, but.
Rich people aren't necessarily happier, but they're also not, they're not dealing with the troubles that other people are. Does that make sense? You're not guaranteed happiness, but you're also not freaked out because T-Mobile just charged you $18 more and you had to spend 2 hours on the phone with them.
I feel like rich, like, the people that are there have, like, their lives are simple, and that's, like, what makes them good crowds.
Yeah,
maybe like just that they're like simple and it's easy to entertain them.
I think The comics they hire are usually pretty good too. That could be something to do with it. They hire funny comics.
But that's true, obviously, since we're among that roster.
Yeah, we have to pat ourselves on the back real quick. Which, by the way, is mostly what podcasting is. Go ahead.
You just nailed the art form.
Just patting each other on the back over and over
again.
Art
form has been nailed. Attention. No, just the simple fact of like, I'll do a weekend in La Jolla and it'll be great. Like killer. Yeah. I'm on top of the world. I will come back Sunday night, do a spot at the Comedy Store and literally be suicidal within minutes of walking off stage because of how bad it went.
Does your performance affect your mood that much?
Okay, it does not make me suicidal, but yep. Yeah.
It does.
I mean, it can. Like, yeah. A good performance that the last time I was in La Jolla, like, that just makes me feel really happy and at ease. And then a bad one is, like, you know, I even go to the place of, like, what am I doing? Like,
really?
That was so bad. But you've been doing this a much longer time, and you probably don't really bomb ever.
I never bomb.
That's not true. Of course, everyone bombs.
I've seen you bomb, actually.
I fucking hate comics. Thank you, Esther. I hate comics who say they don't bomb. It's the dumbest. It's the same guys who always kill. They always say, oh, I fucking destroyed that room.
Or people are like,
up.
I killed my first time for 30 minutes.
Yeah, for 30 minutes. Yeah, yeah. Where did you see me bomb? I'm just curious. Was it at the... No, I don't disagree with you at all.
I think when I first started comedy,
okay,
like... I feel like it was a night when everyone was bombing, but like a night, I think it was like...
You don't have to justify it. I'm just kidding. You know,
it was at the store
and
like a Sunday, Monday. And I think you may have been like practicing a Tonight Show set or something.
That's good when your Tonight Show set bombs.
Which, by the way, I see that so frequently there that people come in, they're doing a set for a Fallon or whatever, and it just does not go well at the store. I feel like that's like a rite of passage. You just have to have your set bomb there.
Those TV sets are so rehearsed.
Yeah.
They have to be.
Yeah.
And so when you go to this like land of a blank canvas, like the original room, and they want some crowd work and they want like freedom and or like organic creation.
Yeah.
And then you go up there and do like almost like a 5-minute play that's rehearsed. It usually doesn't.
It's a fact that won't work there.
It doesn't work there. Yeah.
And that's actually what's I'm having a hard time like developing and trying to figure out that like the scripted set you're going to do because it doesn't work at the Comedy Store.
Well, are you going up a lot of other places?
Lately I have, a little bit.
Okay.
I'm doing, but the majority of where I go up is the store.
Yeah. It's the store is awesome. They've been so good to me, but one really has to go up other places.
Yeah, I know.
Like, and that's where the road's great for me. I get to be in a totally different room, totally different group of people. But people who get so locked in the store, it's so convenient, especially if they're giving you spots.
Yeah.
But like that is one room, and as comics, we have to do every room.
Right.
So like we need to know how to do every room, you know. So
true fact. Yeah,
anyways, I'm really dropping some knowledge nuggets on this thing right here.
When you work out, do you run? What
like
do you
fitness?
Do? Yes,
okay.
Fitness.
We keep coming back to this.
I know, I'm so intrigued.
For me, the key to keep working out is absolute variety. So today I played tennis. Yesterday I played tennis. I won't play tennis now for like 5 or 6 days. Okay, that's 2 in a row. I usually don't do that. Friday I played basketball. Thursday I went on the elliptical. Wednesday,
does that feel a little gay when you're doing it?
I feel super gay, and I laugh at the elliptical. I don't even think it's a workout. I barely sweat on that thing. You got to put the level up so high on the elliptical. People think they're working hard on elliptical. I'm telling you right now, you have to go level way higher than you think.
Here's what I need.
Wednesday yoga. I'm not done.
Whoa.
Wednesday yoga. Tuesday day off. Took a day off Tuesday. I was a little sick. My resting heart rate was way higher than it should have been.
Threw me for a loop with the day off on Tuesday.
Day off Tuesday. Fucking misdirection on that one. Wednesday, Monday, I don't remember. I didn't mean to interrupt you on your podcast.
No.
I just was getting passionate about my workouts.
This is what I wanted. Okay. This is what I wanted us to get to.
Good.
What I wanted to say, though, is I believe before you said Wednesday, we were talking about elliptical.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like to fulfill something inside me, I need like a 5-minute video of you on the elliptical.
Is that right?
To fulfill
me inside you. Because there's another 5-minute video that could definitely have me feeling inside of you.
Just, I always wondered this for dudes, like, do you always just feel so homo on an elliptical? It just seems like so girly.
It is girly. It's such a...
Is it even worth it for how girly and emasculating?
I do the elliptical when I'm feeling sore from the workout before.
Right.
It's kind of like barely a fast walk. The elliptical. I mean, you can get sweaty. The elliptical was designed to make people think they're working out.
You really think that? I think yes. The elliptical is such a hard workout.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you're shitty at fitness, Esther. I don't know if that's true. I see people in jeans on the elliptical.
Really?
That makes me laugh. You can't have jeans on the elliptical. Now, I need to preface this by saying I am not an elliptical expert, and I would love it if someone gave me a workout on elliptical that would make me go crazy, and I bet it would.
You hear that, ladies?
I hear that, ladies? I'm pretty sure I just need to raise my level.
Yeah.
It's good. Do you belong to a gym here?
You know, I did for a while, but yeah. I threw in that towel a couple months ago.
Yeah, you threw in the gym towel.
I threw it in. I was working at a gym, and then...
Really? Yeah, you worked at a gym?
I did. I worked like a year ago or so. I worked at Equinox, which is a really nice gym.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And one day I ate way too many cookies, and I was like, I just can't go watch hot chicks work out with a stomach ache.
That place has got all types of hot people.
Oh, it's all hot chicks and hot gay guys.
Yeah.
It's
gay guys love to work out.
They love it.
God, do they have more time? Do gay people have a different calendar? Do gay men have more hours in the day?
They, in some way, yes, they do. Because think of all the difficulties you go through dealing with like men and women. You
with
know?
Women, yeah, it's true.
You're dealing just with men. There's a lot of, you know, a lot's cut out of the equation.
That's a really interesting thing. They're not wasting as much time either trying to get vagina or deal with vagina.
Right.
So they have more time.
Gay guys are sort of like the next step in evolution,
I think. Correct.
They're more efficient.
They're more efficient.
Better looking, better shape.
The only part of that whole evolution theory that I don't buy is that you can't impregnate them by fucking them in the ass.
Right. You can't poop out a baby.
You cannot poop out a baby. .com. And if that isn't the natural conclusion to the end of this podcast, I don't know.
Oh gosh, what are we wrapping up?
You can't poop out a
baby.
We're
at an hour. Okay.
Are we already at an hour? Man, it goes fast talking, Esther.
Oh wait, I know what I want to do. We might have to cut time out while I do this. However,
you want to do a photo?
No, well, I want to do that, but I want to play the voicemail that you left me.
Okay.
MichaelCosta.com, is that your website?
Yeah, MichaelCosta.com.
MichaelCosta.com. Michael Costa called me.
Costa with a K, you guys.
He called me today, and I wanted to play the voicemail. Will you tell me how the audio is? Okay.
Esther, hey, it's Costa. 7 p.m. works great for me. My house is the easiest for me, but I want to make sure that you're comfortable wherever you need to be. So,
oh, yeah.
Call me back. I'm going to play tennis in an hour from like 4 to 5:30. And then I'm going to shave my body hair, and then I'll be ready. So call me back and let's chat, but 7 p.m. sounds great. Okay, bye.
It's just a normal voicemail with one tiny joke.
What? Was it a joke?
I did not shave my body hair, no.
For the podcast?
I did, for the podcast, I did not. But I typically do manscape. Yeah, my chest. I will manscape, but I didn't do it today.
I wonder what would happen if I went around saying that I manscaped. Is that acceptable?
It would also, no, but it would be funny because it would make me think you have like this huge happy trail.
I do have a happy trail.
Do you have a happy trail?
You know what's funny is I do, let me see.
Oh God, here we go.
Does that count?
No, it does not count as a happy trail.
I've had people tell me that I have one and I'm like, that's like such a light colored hair.
Yeah, I didn't even see it.
Okay, good. Yeah. Thanks. Yeah. Okay, well, you know, now that we've played that voicemail and I'll say this, I could go on forever.
Thank you, Esther.
I could do this forever.
Thank you, Esther. I couldn't. No, I could talk. I love talking to Esther. This is what whenever I see you, I love chatting with you. You're a great personality. And I hate when people say this, you have a great future in comedy. I'm always like, fuck you, and someone give me some money. But no, you're really funny, and you're fun to talk to.
Yay,
so.
I want to have you on this podcast a lot. Is that okay?
Great. I'd love to do that.
And also look out. I'm pretty sure Michael Costa is going to have his own podcast because he's so funny and did so well today.
I'm not sure about that, but look out. That would be nice.
But where can we find you and all that?
MichaelCosta.com, Twitter, Michael Costa, Facebook, Michael Costa. I've got, who knows when this is going to air, but I'm on the road everywhere from...
Oh, that's true. Oh my God, that's so cool because I'm not on tour, but Michael's on tour, so you could go see him.
Yeah.
And he's really, really funny.
My next live dates are Edmonton, Detroit, Chicago.
Where are you going to be in Chicago?
I'm going to be at a new Zanies there in Rosemont, Illinois.
Oh.
Not the one in Old Town. I've played that one before, but this is a different one in some suburb.
What date?
I'm not 100% sure, Esther, but we could probably, you know, coordinate this off of the website or something.
You're right. You're right. Mm-hmm. We can do that. And this may be cut out. I don't know how that stuff works. All right. So Dustin's nodding his head. okay. So yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Esther.
Thank you for inviting me into your home.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And letting me take photographic evidence that I was invited into your home.
For security purposes.
Exactly.
Dustin, thank you. You've been a great listener. He laughs, which is nice.
Yes.
An engineer who doesn't laugh is like, oh, fuck. Is
this right. We're screwed. Yeah, but we have a laughing engineer. He liked and what he heard.
If you could just give me a couple bucks for the beer, that'd be great.
So yeah, we're over and out. And thank you for the cookies and your hospitality.
Thank you very much. Bye.
Bye.
FairLaudio.com is an artist-friendly podcast collective hosted by castmates.fm. Host your own podcast at castmates.fm. Today, all of our artists reserve the rights to their materials. Your donations directly support our favorite artists, help pay for their show's production, and keep your favorite shows free. Music by The Fancy. We are thefancy.net. Visit FairLaudio.com for other original shows and learn about our community of artists that help make this collective possible. Thank you for listening to this podcast.
As a branch of the United States government, it is the mission of the National Security Agency to assess and flag citizens of the country who may present a threat to its security. The NSA has clearance to wiretap by any means necessary.
Tapped. Incidental recordings of private conversations from the files of the NSA.
Now on feralaudio.com.